Good evening, Miss Doyle. I turn to see Lucy Fairchild beside me. Miss Fairchild, I say. She smiles at me with great warmth. It's a splendid ball, isn't it? How happy you must be for your friend, Miss Worthington. Yes, I say, smiling back. I am. I watched you dance. You are very graceful, she says, and I blush, thinking of Simon's hand at my back, the way I leaned into him. Thank you, I say, though my grace is very much in question, and I'm sure Mr. Middleton much prefers dancing with you. We smile uncomfortably at one another in the mirror. She pinches her cheeks for colour, though there's no need. She's lovely. Well, I say, rising to go. Yes, do enjoy the ball, Lucy Fairchild says with sincerity. And you as well. A gong sounds, and the guests are called to the ballroom. Lord Markham staggers to the centre of the floor. He's had a bit to drink, and the red of his nose shows it.
Ladies and gentlemen, our esteemed guest,
Lord Markham says, slurring his words a bit.
My dear wife has arranged a most stirring entertainment for this evening. The whirling dervishes of Konya have come to us as refugees from the Ottoman Empire, which has of late been the site of an unspeakable massacre of the Armenian people by the Sultan's army. Such atrocities cannot stand. We must...
Throats are cleared. Women fan themselves. Lady Markham looks at her husband beseechingly that he might talk no more of politics, and he nods, cowed.
I present to you the dervishes of Konya.
8 men in very tall hats take the floor. The gleaming of the crystal chandeliers makes the white of their long priestly robes shine. The music is hypnotic. The dancers bow to one another, and slowly they begin their revolutions. The music swells, the tempo rises, and the dancers' long skirts float out like bells. The music speeds along with a passion that stirs my blood. The dervishes turn in ecstasy, their palms raised toward heaven, as if they could hold God briefly on their fingers, but only if they do not stop turning. The guests watch in awe, caught up in the frenzy of the dervishes spinning. To my right, I see Mr. Falson dressed in servant garb, a tray in his hand. He's not watching the dancers, he's watching my brother. Seconds later, he exits the room. I'll not let him go tonight. I intend to shadow his every move. He'll let my brother be, or feel my wrath. He walks upstairs and knocks on the door to the gentleman's parlour. I dart behind an enormous potted fern to spy. A moment later, Lord Denby appears.
Yes, Falson.
He's watching the dance, sir,
Falson reports.
I'm keeping my eye on him, just like you asked.
Lord Denby pats Falson's shoulder.
Good man.
I wondered, sir, if I might have a word.
Lord Denby loses his smile.
It's not really the time or the place, old chap.
Yes, sir, forgive me, but it never seems to be, and I was wondering when I might advance in the Rekshana, like we talked about. I have some thoughts.
Lord Denby sticks his cigar into his mouth.
All in good time.
Just as you say, sir,
Falson answers, his head down.
We need more fine soldiers like you, Mr. Falson,
Lord Denby crows.
Now, do keep to your duties, won't you?
Yes, sir,
Falson says. He turns on his heel and strides back to the ballroom, where he might keep watch over my brother. Lord Denby is of the Rakshana. The full weight of it hits my stomach like a fist. All this time, I've been in his home. I've kissed his son, Simon. Anger, hot and unforgiving, rises in me. He will answer for this, for my brother. I don't bother to knock. I open the door and step into the parlour, where only the men sit, smoking their pipes and cigars. The hard glint of their eyes makes it clear that I am a trespasser here. Swallowing hard, I march through the clusters of silently outraged men and straight up to Lord Denby. He puts on a false smile.
Why, Miss Doyle, I'm afraid this is a room for gentlemen only. If you're lost, perhaps I could escort...
Lord Denby, I must speak to you, I whisper.
I'm afraid I'm wanted at the tables, my dear,
he answers. You're wanted under my boot, you miserable cur. I force a smile that is pure sugar and lower my voice. It is rather urgent. I'm sure these kind gentlemen will wait. Or should I see if Mr. Falson is more receptive to my request?
Gentlemen,
he says, turning to the men in his circle,
do spare me a moment. You know how ladies can be when they are insistent.
The gentlemen chuckle at my expense, and it is all I can do not to inflict a painful rash on every one of them. Lord Denby ushers me through a door into a private library. Ordinarily, I would be comforted by the sight of so many lovely books, but I'm far too angry for comfort tonight, and I suspect the books are rather like the people here, unread and purely decorative.